Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, and today my guest is Denise Broadwater. Denise has been a licensed professional counselor in South Carolina for 10 years, treating anxiety, depression, life adjustments, and marriages. She has an MA in clinical counseling and began her career as a family therapist working with at-risk families and youth. Additionally, Denise has an MED, which is a master's in education administration, with several years of teaching experience in private education. She is a wife and the mother of three children and recently added Nana to her list of credentials. She enjoys rowing at the gym, cooking new recipes, sewing quilts, and blogging. Denise's book, A House with Holes, One Marriage Journey, and A Charleston Renovation. The book, A Perfect Metaphor for Marriage, was a hot number one new release on Amazon and a bestseller in home design. Denise, I am delighted to have you on the show to share your really kind of, I don't even know what to say, but universally resonating and important conversation about not only renovations, which, my Lord, we all know the horror of that, but about marriage, and we all know the challenges of that. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
I am so happy to be here and to share a little bit about what I've done and my journey beyond those credentials, living life. And that's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. Denise, when we had our pre-interview, we talked about your background, your husband's background, and which is relevant to your values and relevant to his skills, I believe.
Yes.
And in your patience. So why don't you start us off with talking about, you know, your upbringing and your background, which actually has its roots in the Amish and Mennonite communities.
Absolutely, that's right. And kind of, there aren't too many people that can really say I am from the Amish Mennonite community. And I am the first generation born conservative Mennonite since the 1600s. And then
wow.
To become English. Yeah, so both my parents were German-speaking. Followed that faith all growing up, and then married eventually in the conservative Mennonite church. And so those values of work, which you're going to see in the book, because it's a lot of work that goes into this house. And then, of course, my husband, half of him is that as well. So his mother was born in the same community. Our grandmothers lived just miles apart years and years ago, though we are not closely related, which is kind of a miracle in that community. But his craftsmanship that I talk about, it stems from, you know, we hear of the Amish furniture makers, don't we? And my husband's craftsmanship comes from the construction and hands-on work that they do, passed down to him through his father and his uncles. So,
So his background certainly prepared him for this, I don't know how to call it. I don't want to say catastrophic already.
Yeah, I know.
I was reading the book. I was saying, no, really, I could just imagine how many people said to you, and I told you this in the pre-interview, my children loved to cross watching Sesame Street, and their dad would, you know, entertain them, and he would, you know, do the voices of the puppets, right?
Mm-hmm,
and I think,
right.
I don't know if it was Grover or which one it was, but he was very well known for going, "What? Are you out of your mind?"
Are you out of your mind? Because
I
know that our friends were saying that, you know, what are you guys doing? What are you thinking?
I know. Well, that's what I was saying to you. It's like, I can't imagine anyone saying, "Oh, what a wonderful project to take on. How exciting." You know, it's like, really, tell us about this wonderful motivation you had to be part of the culture Charlotte. You got to tell me the name. Charleston, South Carolina. Okay.
Yeah.
And your motivation to be part of that historical community. What drove you to do that and find the house? And then, of course, you have to tell us the really kind of a little bit scary stories about how you picked out your house.
Yeah, so we just felt a need or like a desire. I had done a lot of docent work in the downtown. We've lived in Charleston since 1999, and it says on the back of my book, we're veteran rehabbers, and that's true. We have gone in and done some work on homes and sold those. And then
what's
when our kids
docent?
Were...
I'm sorry, Denise, what's docent work?
Docent means tour guides for like the Historic Foundation and... So I had done a number of tours, you know, for people coming through in the old homes in the downtown. So that's docent. I was a docent for Historic Charleston. And for a number of years, I stood in those houses over there and talked about their history. And so I kind of knew some things about the history of Charleston. It made me interested in it. And having been here since, you know, a good number of years, we had owned other homes. I thought it would be fun, and Greg really felt this too, having done other homes, that we would get a historic cottage in the downtown on the up and coming west side where we could afford purchasing one. And these are not mortgageable, so you have to be able to pay with cash. And so all of that comes in the motivation of where we bought and the time that we bought. Now, we had the remodels that we had done, and we had built one new, we had still never done to this degree. And some people have said they've read the book and they feel the muck and the mud and the openness of this house right there with me, which is really my intention. But, you know, someone that's just done simple renovation, this is not what we're talking about. And I actually would not recommend it unless the person that's involved is really professional. And my husband is. He's been in construction since he was 16 years old, working with his father. He now works for an architect and does commercial construction the last 15 years. So he's been, you know, invaluable to this project. It wouldn't have happened without his expertise. So we began to look and narrowed our search. Realtors really weren't digging deep enough, so we did a lot of our own searching. And we came up with three homes to look at. And we had a wonderful younger realtor that took us around. And the first couple, especially the first one down is Wagoneer Terrace, is a little farther out on the peninsula. It actually probably was the better area as far as the neighborhood. He felt it was safer than where we currently were, ended up purchasing. But it just did not appeal to us. You know, the house, the character of it, there was an empty lot next door we knew it would be built on, and that was kind of speculative. We didn't know what that house would become, how close it would end up being to ours. So there were negatives there. All the copper had been cut out of that house during the vacancy of it. So there had been some vandalism, but it was more than that. It was, you know, the character of the house. The second one, which we ended up not being interested in, was in a much worse area. And it was so, we were so nervous about being that part of the inner city that we were afraid to get out and look at it, if that gives you an idea. The police were, presence was always there. I could tell there was a lot of activity on that street, and that was on Line Street, and I had never been in that part of the city, and I just did not get a good feeling. And this street, well, there you will see there was activity here as far as drugs and some other things. This street appealed to us. This house had character. The wrought iron fence, the piazza, it really spoke to me of the downtown Charleston single houses that were present on the Battery. Now, it was in bad shape. It was the worst house on the street. It was on the corner. And that's when we narrowed it to those three. And we just kept coming back to this one. We looked at it a couple of times. We knew that the foundation needed work. But Greg stood across from the street. And this is the classic statement of the book. He said, Denise, if you want this house and you're with me together, there's nothing in this house that cannot be fixed.
Yeah,
and he was right.
Wait a second. You didn't tell us the scary story.
Okay.
Come on. You're not going to get out of this. So, now, listeners, check this out. These people are roaming through a crime-infested part of the city and looking for an affordable rehab, okay? You gotta get the big picture here. People looking for an affordable rehab, you can imagine the kind of community and neighborhood with, you know, drugs and guns and all kinds of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And these folks are driving around innocent, what I call deer in the headlights. Okay? I come from New York City, and I spent a lot of time up in the Harlem area when I was going to Columbia. And I was in the Spanish Harlem area, not the fancy part. And I want to tell you, things can get pretty, pretty spooky. So, you got to tell us the story. Come on, Denise.
I, you know, in looking, we went down on Line Street and the drug dealers came up to Greg in the car and said, the Popo are out and we advise you not to get out of the car right now. Because I honestly believe they thought we were down there for a deal. And Greg and I looked at each other and we have never smoked or done much of that. And I said, we look like we're down here for drugs. And I texted the realtor, and he said, I am so glad y'all aren't going to get out here. He was afraid. And so we turned around and left that area. Now, this area, while there was some drug dealers on the street, and we were forced to the ground with a large gunshot, you know, very early in, that was 10 feet off of our house and hit the neighbor's car. So that did happen, and that was, you know, probably a time when it was, do we stay or do we go?
And again, I can hear the Muppets going, are you out of your mind? I can just see all the Muppets watching this. You know, I mean, really, Denise, come on. I mean, this is surreal. It's right out of a TV show. I mean,
it is.
How in God's name did you and your husband kind of justify or put, you know, some, oh, it's going to be okay to have to being shot at, hitting the ground, just feet from where the house that you are going to buy is. Come on, you got to clean that up because that's really troubling.
I guess, you know what, I believe it was part of our naivete that, you know, we're here until we're not to be, you know, this idea that our days are numbered and that we're here until we're not supposed to be. And Greg looked at me and said, I can keep you safe, Denise. And I just believed him.
Now, I have to stop you here because ladies, the women who are listening, okay, seriously now, you have this husband who works with his hands and he's a man, you know, he's a guy, right? And he turns around to you and he says, darling, I will keep you safe. I mean, hello. You know, they could probably be sending in, you know, lobbing in grenades, and you're going to say, oh, darling, of course. So I gotta give props to your hubby. He must be one sexy guy if he got away with that.
You know, I think it was my trust in him and, like, him throwing me to the ground and then also, at any time, he stood in the gap for me here. And I would not have moved in this neighborhood alone. And the young women that are living here have big dogs. And so, you know, and I understand that because ultimately, you know, we need to be alert and, you know, it's an inner city. And we are farm people. So I think some of it was our naivete to think, we would be, you know, not hit or this isn't going to happen. You know?
Well, yes,
so there was
denial.
Some of that.
Oh, this isn't going to happen to me.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's
it's some denial. And, you know, I recommend that? Would I want my children to do what we have done now that we're on this side of it? I don't know that I could do it again. Because as you sit here and talk to me, I think this was really crazy at points, you know? So,
I know your
neighborhood is
crazy. You're starting to think, oh my Lord.
He's right.
What were we thinking? And you know, maybe we need to rethink because you're still in that neighborhood, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We live here now, but it has really improved over time. There are more young families here. The drug dealers are gone as the houses have sold. The porches they used to sit on, they are no longer there. And you'll see that I make alliances with them. I don't look at them as the enemy. I get out and try to, you know, converse with them as neighbors. I have often heard they don't want things going on in their own neck of the woods. And I kind of took that to heart. And as a therapist, I look at people as people. And I would get out, you'll see in the book, I'll get out and say, how y'all doing? You know, they're like, can we help you with your groceries? And I don't choose to let them in the house, you know. But I do say thank you, and I'm respectful, because they're just men there trying to make a living. Maybe not a way I would want. But I tried to come from that point of view and not judge too
well,
harshly.
Well, see, that's what I meant when I said your upbringing.
Yes.
You brought a unique kind of way of accepting, relating, and integrating into this community.
Yes.
So I don't think you could have done it without your upbringing background, number one.
Yes.
And clearly, from what was required physically for the renovation and mm-hmm. all of the stuff that, you know, you all went through, your husband's background was necessary in
yes.
order for that to happen. So I think I want to put a word of caution. Okay.
Okay.
I feel we have to put a warning label on this conversation. Okay.
Yes.
You know, do not try this at home, people. I think that Denise and her hubby were uniquely qualified to do such a thing. To buy a residence that needed rehab, to move into a community where bullets are literally flying over their heads, and to deal with not only the physical and the financial and the emotional component of that, but then they have to deal with their marriage. Now, we're going to get ready for our first break, but let's just set this up so when we come back, you and your husband were empty nesters at that time.
Yes, we were.
Thank God the children were not dragged into this. I don't think
right?
I would have done it if you had children no. dragged into that neighborhood. So the
no.
children were not part of this scenario. But Denise and her husband, it's Jeff, right? Your hubby is Jeff. Is it Jeff?
It's Gregory.
Oh, Gregory. I'm so sorry. I don't know where Jeff came in.
Okay.
But anyway, Jeff. Oh, now we'll talk about Jeff at another time. Right. So you and Gregory, you know, it was a honeymoon. It was another. It was starting over, and you went through
yes.
this wonderful honeymoon period, which was delightful. And then
yes.
as it always happens, real life.
mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break for just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere, anybody. This is such a fun, and very informative interview. We will be back very shortly for more of Denise Broadwater, who is the author of a wonderful book called... where was it? I'm sorry, I'm reading this, you know, I'm looking at it. But we will be back with Denise. Don't go away.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert, and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful peer presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gaz is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
Talking to Denise Broadwater, who, with her husband Gregory, bought a rehab house in a very challenging community, and not only set out to rehab the house, but had an incredible adventure of their own. She's written a book, A House with Holes, One Marriage Journey and a Charleston Renovation. Denise, we're having such a good time. You are such a delightful guest. So we set this whole thing up. Here you are, okay, honeymoon in Charleston, in the house with bullets flying. So take us on your first 6 months and then bring us up to the point. I think it was at 8 months you told me. I was reading the book and you said you were done, and your husband was like, all right. So let's talk about the first 8 months and then bring us to that juncture where you were done, okay?
Okay, so we began by painting the front room and sealing it. It drank in like 5 gallons of spray paint. My husband rolled out a rug, and in sealing that old sheetrock up, it made a cleaner area for us to be. It was probably the best room in the house, the front room. The front two original rooms were the best in construction, I think because the others were built with poor quality materials in the 40s and 50s. And so that front room became our dorm room. And literally, we had a dorm refrigerator from one of our children who had graduated from college, and a little area for the kitchen, a bed, and a sectional in there with a closet. We had makeshift. It was a one-room house. And we lived that way for those first 8 months. And, you know, together, it was kind of exciting. We owned this house outright. We thought, this is a new adventure. We can do this. After all, we've done a lot of renovations. This will be easy. And I would say, too, in the empty nest, you need to kind of revitalize the being a couple. You're no longer co-parenting. And our kids had just finished college when we bought this in 2012. So we were kind of this new reinvention of our marriage as a couple again. Okay. So I think that was exciting and adventurous. And we were looking for materials and historic pieces to fill the house with. We have one stained glass that we purchased way back then. It wasn't put in until 4 years later. So some of those early finds that we intended for the house are now in, but it took much longer than we thought. At the 8 month mark, the back of the house was still open and I was cooking at the stove and I look over my shoulder and a bushy tail is going through the plastic curtain to the open area. And it scared me to death. I realized that the animal that it was, and it was a raccoon, had been in the room with me and I had noticed it. It could have literally come up and bit me if it had been ravenous.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And so I put my soup in the oven, went in and shut the door to the dorm room. That was closed off. I shut the door and I was angry at that point. I just thought, you know, there's only so much of this I can take. And it had been months of open ground. We had brown water underneath the kitchen that had to be cleaned up and just a lot of serious things. And I remember Greg pulling in with a load of hardwood that we had purchased, reclaimed off of James Island. And he was so tickled with his purchase. I could see it on his face. And I knew that I was going to let him have it. I wanted to fire off a text and I didn't do it. But I knew I was going to let him have it when he came in. And I told him, I am done. I cannot do animals now. And, you know, he didn't answer a lot. He went around, he put up plywood, he took insulation and filled the holes in this house so that I would feel a little more secure. You know, we had the journey ahead of us. We had purchased this house and we could have got out of it maybe at that point. But Greg took some time and made it so that I could make it again. And I think that's been our journey all along. When I've reached points where I am done, and he even knows to this day, that what I mean when I say that I can't go anymore, something's got to give. He will help to make sure that improvements are made. On down the road, one weekend I was gone and he knew that the dorm room was getting challenging for me. And I remember him working all weekend. I probably put in 20 hours while I was gone and got our master bedroom floored, painted, completely ready, and added that to our space. And it was so nice and relaxing in there. I can remember that happening and what it took for his sacrifice to make that happen, because he knew I was at points, breaking points, where I couldn't do it anymore. So he would go the extra mile. And this is because he loves me and he wants to take care of me. I know that.
So, well, absolutely. And I just want to say this because, you know, a lot of the people who listen to this show, a majority of them are female. And ladies, let me tell you, I mean, when Denise was telling me this, I even said to you, I said, you know, a man loves you. The way men love is they don't talk, they do. And you know a man loves you when he does things for you. And what a wonderful, romantic, you know, totally, I don't know, affirming thing for your husband to do. I think that is so beautiful. Please tell him. Please tell Gregory. He's quite a guy. Because that was a wonderful thing to do. So you had it at that point, and you said to him, I'm done. And what did he say?
He said, you know, I know that it's hard, but we have it to do.
No, that's not what he said. That's not what you told me, did
he? Oh, that's how it was. Okay, okay.
No, you said, I'm done. And he said, with me?
Oh, yeah, with me. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, you know he was teasing me.
With me, are you done? Well, you never know. So,
you don't know, but, I guess. But.
Yeah, but what an exchange. That was a critical juncture for both of you, obviously.
It was.
And so from then on, I mean, clearly, you know, you were all in at that point, of course, and your renovation. How many years ago was that particular moment in time?
That would have been the beginning of 2014.
Oh, so we purchased it. Wow. Yeah.
It's yeah.
Been six, seven years
yes.
now already. Wow.
Yes.
So the house
in
is
May,
moving.
It'll be six, yeah, or seven.
The house is moving along.
Yes.
It's coming. It's almost done. Is it almost done?
Yes. And so now we are in the final stages, and actually the construction inside is completely done. The floors, the trim. We've got a little bit of painting to do, which is always the last thing. So we've got some touch-up paint. And then we have our outdoor spaces. So we have a courtyard in the front, and we have a patio that'll be, you know, fully done in the back. So he's got some steps to do. Mostly outdoor spaces right now is the construction. So
well,
we're that close.
Now, listen up, people listening, okay? You know what they say. It's the journey. It's not the destination. Now, I could have fallen off my chair when Denise announced to me after sharing what a wonderful the work that they've done and how beautiful and her husband poured his heart and his soul and his talent and his blood, sweat, and tears into this house. She informs me. What did you inform me, Denise?
That we are going to lease this house with an executor rental month at a time. So month, 60 days, 90 days, up to 90 days at a time. So within the next year, I see that happening, or year and a half. So
you know what the logical question is? This is the logical question.
Sure.
Why would you do something like that when, in fact, you didn't do it for yourself?
You know? It is about the journey, and we are, you know, it doesn't mean that it's going to be sold. It just means that others will enjoy it, and months that it's open, we will come too. So we will have this to enjoy, but we are country people, and we are farm people, and I think we will want to go to the farm again, more of a farm setting. So that's our desire, really.
Isn't that fascinating? So in Charleston, I would imagine there aren't, like, you're not surrounded by trees and gardens. You know, it's not like that, right?
It is. We aren't far. We aren't far. Trees, we have a Hampton Park. So much like Central Park in New York, we have a large Hampton Park just three blocks from here.
Yeah, but it's not surrounding your home. In other words, you're not living.
No.
Yeah. And you know what's kind of fascinating? And this is something I'm dealing with, you know, being around nature, being around trees, being around birds, being around earth.
Yes.
It really is. I think a lot more people are starting to understand that our souls, the soul of who we are.
Yes.
That we are not nurturing that energy. We're not nurturing our need to touch the divine, to touch
yes.
the great intelligence that has organized the planet and organized our survival and existence on this planet. And it doesn't matter what your worldview or your philosophical or spiritual beliefs are.
Right.
We all know the difference. When we're on sacred ground, when we're standing under beautiful tall trees, when we're looking at water, when we're,
yes.
you know, listening to the birds, we know that there's this quality. So one of the things that I took away from my conversation with you, Denise, was I think that the heart is hungry to make beauty, and I think the heart is hungry to live in beauty and to live
yes.
in nature.
So sure.
Now that I've said this, tell me what conversations might you and your hubby have had about that. I mean, I'm sure you had to be talking about that kind of stuff, or else, you know, you wouldn't have
well,
come to the conclusion.
We both are farm raised, and I mean raising cattle, having animals, chickens. I've had chickens before I moved to Charleston, and our grandchildren are coming along now. Nana's been added. I'm having my second soon. And we want that for our grandchildren. We want them to be able to experience being outside and having a little bit of ground to own. It's kind of like forest surfing or laying out and being in the grass. You know, they say it unplugs you in a way that being in the city doesn't, or being on the electronics and the TV. So we're wanting that peace, and we want it for our family to experience. So we want to bring that peace to our grandchildren. And I don't, to be honest with you, believe it's in this house. I mean, there are parts of that. You know, we can be out in our back patio, but literally this house sits on lines and there's very little property with it. Now, I love Charleston and I love experiencing the history here. And there are people just content to live in a city block, you know what I'm saying? And to be out walking and knowing people on the city block, I don't think that's all of who we are. So we've given life to this house for another 100 years, but it is not to be our whole future. So.
Yeah. So what?
And for others to enjoy.
What was the great takeaway for you, and the takeaway for your husband? What did you personally know in your soul after this process? Please share with us what you knew, because in a little while we're going to take another break, and before you leave, I would love for you to talk to us about, you know, the incredible intimacy, the incredible emotional growth of a marriage under siege of stress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
So tell us what your takeaway and what Greg's takeaway was.
Okay, so my takeaway is that even with all the deluge of coming at us, it was like the house and us were fighting. There was another hole coming, another stressor. And even recently I did a newsletter and I had another thing to put in there at Christmas. You know, we ran out of flooring 18 inches from the finish, or 14 inches from the finish, less than that. It was less than a box. We let the guy calculate it and we were short, and it had been discontinued since we purchased it. We were able to find two boxes. But I kept thinking, this is this house. We are never going to be done, you know, with an issue or a problem. But even in spite of that deluge of one after another, here they come, the deep love and mutual respect that we shared while pushed to the brink. And I mean that. There are times when I thought we could lose our marriage over this. I really thought, you know, this could happen. But, you know, we chose to trust each other. And that foundation of love that I knew Greg had for me carried us through, because there were things said, and you'll see this in the book, that we can't take back. And there were scars. There's a little bit of wounds there. I think that Greg, his sense of accomplishment, the perfectionist that he is, he's thankful for me probably more so than he was because of my journey with him in this. But he only gets about 80% of what he wants in this house. There are going to be things that did not come out quite like he wanted. Mm-hmm. And he can walk away and still feel good about that. And that's hard for him. I'll give you an example. We put in shiplap of original wood. Well, the spaces in between are a little wider than he would have wanted. Something that simple. But when he comes into the room, he sees that. Nobody else sees that. Greg sees that. Okay. Mm. And that's what he has to give. He has to let some of the things go. He gave it his best shot and it's beautiful, but he knows where the errors are. Because let's face it, you only get about 80% of what you intended, even in a new build when you're working with a builder. So, you know, I think Greg's had to let some things go. And one of the other things that he did is he let me have a sub to redo the fireplace. And that was huge. He could have redone the fireplace. It's called repointing the mortar. The mortar in our fireplace was crumbling. And so we had professionals come in and cut out the mortar and put new mortar in. And it's beautiful. But there are places where he feels like he could have done it a little better. It would have taken us another 3 to 4 months for him to do that. And I said, Greg, let's let somebody else do it so we can be done. We're wore out. This is a long project.
And I can imagine. I mean, personally, I will go back to the Muppets. I don't know how you ever made that decision to do that. It was an incredible commitment. And, you know, people say, well, everything we do has a purpose to it. And
yes.
we can hear whatever you're doing, by the way. So.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
Okay. So, you know, you must have felt that there was some purpose to it for you, you know, to take on such a project. And it sounds like you did get a lot out of whatever you went through together those years. What about your marriage now? What would you say this project did for your marriage? I mean, can you tell us, like, how you grew and, you know, how you're stronger today than you were before?
I believe that the connecting, Greg is a very quiet man, and this has forced us to communicate and to make choices and to compromise and to know when to drive the stake in with each other. And that's a lot of connecting, and it's a reconnecting. We were good co-parents, but when we come back to do this as empty nesters, we have to reconnect, and we have to find a way to do it on a deeper level. I feel like it set us up as this strength and this tower that says, we're going to make it. You know, we've come through the war, battle after battle. And this has really set us up to enjoy what's next and the anticipation of easier days, even here in this house, easier days, when we can spend a weekend and not have to work. So I think it's the connecting has deepened, the respect for each other has deepened, and then the foundation of love has grown deeper as well. So, I mean, all the way across the board, it's been... You know, looking back, we wouldn't want to do it again.
Of course. What would you say? Would you say that the strongest quality or the strongest virtue that you required during this period, was it respect? Was it patience? Was it forgiveness? What was the biggest theme that kept coming up for both of you during, you know, this, I call it the marriage renovation. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Do you know what? I think it's loyalty. I know that wasn't on the list. I think all of those are part of this, but loyalty.
So the commitment, loyalty. The commitment to the commitment of your marriage. In other words,
yes.
The commitment was bigger than his ego, your ego, you know,
yes.
your you know, kind of friction between the two of you. Because that's something, isn't that something that a lot of people today are struggling with?
Yes,
the idea of commitment, because everything is so disposable. Everything
right.
is so, you know.
We'll try it and we'll get out if we can't
right,
do it.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
Yes.
So from that perspective, that was a wonderful, I think, thing to kind of, you know, enlighten or brighten up awareness within your marriage that how deeply committed to your commitment, you know, you are. And I do believe that that's what I've spoken to a lot of people who've been married a long time. And everyone says it's the commitment becomes the primary devotion that you're
sure.
committed to this common goal and this common good. So that's fantastic. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, now you've got through the book and we're going to talk about more about the book. What Denise did was so clever because she's a therapist, of course. She, I think it's every other page or every page, you have these wonderful kind of counseling blurbs. and maybe you could, you know, share some of them with us.
Okay, sure.
You know, you're reading the book and you're listening. It's like watching a reality show, really. And you're reading the book and then you turn the page and here's this great, you know, Yoda wisdom. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have about 8 minutes left. So we're going to talk about Yoda wisdom. We're going to talk about, you know, how you feel now that the book is done and what your hopes are and then how people can get a hold of you, Denise. Okay. So don't go, everybody. We'll be right back.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing Behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. By Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
And today we are talking with Denise Broadwater. Denise is the author of the hot number one new release on Amazon and a bestseller in home design. Her book, A House with Holes, One Marriage Journey, and a Charleston Renovation. Denise, before the break, we talked about, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us some of the, what I call Yoda wisdom notes in your book, okay? Do you want to share some of that with us?
Yes, absolutely. So
I look at marriage as a balance between two strong eyes. And we see in the back where I mentioned two trees and then they overlap because we don't lose ourselves. So our eyes should remain strong, what we like, the colors, our giftings and talents. And that balance of overlap is the we that we share, okay? And in that unit, if one eye is smaller because they've lost voice or the respect has gone down or they're not safe as they used to be with each other, that can happen. That can shrink our eye down and we have to build that back. And that means speaking up when we need to about how we feel. So that's kind of the general consensus of how I see marriage being. Then I talk about all marriages having holes. And marriage holes are places that we don't get each other, where we disconnect. When hard things come up that get on our nerves, those are the things that constantly are developing throughout marriage, and nobody gets out of it. We all have holes, so we either opt for these or we get out of that and opt for some others.
I kind of
believe in dealing with the ones you have, because you kind of know them and how to face them and move to each other in spite of the holes that are there through empathy, understanding where the other person is coming from. This freedom to be me is part of the I talk about that. Feeling duped is another one that I put in there. And that's often after we get married, we can feel duped. Like, this is not what I signed up for.
Right.
You know, when we were dating, I did not see this. But, you know, that's true of anyone that is married. There are times when things come up and it's that getting them that acceptance where they're at, the freedom to grow and the hope that they can grow. That's important in the feeling duped part. So that's another one. Those are some little tidbits that I've thrown in.
Right.
And that's not nearly all of them, but.
Right. What, I mean, you are, you're a therapist, you're a family
yes.
therapist. What do you find is, the most common, you know, hole in a marriage, with contemporary marriages? I think things are different than they used to be because the
yes,
expectations are different.
Sure.
The relationship, the roles of people are different. So how has marriage changed today, you know, as opposed to maybe, you know, years gone by?
Well, I think that years gone by, we probably had a little less balance because of the roles. And so there's a falseness now that it is more balanced because both are individuals in a marriage, but the communication is less because we're on our phones, we're on social media, and some couples connect by text. They actually text across the room to each other. And while that's communication, it's still not the same as eye to eye and soul to soul.
That's distressing.
Yes, it is.
I have to be friends with you. I mean, you know the one that kills me. I mean, when you're in a restaurant and you are watching a family, including the children, on the phones, and the parents are on their phones, nobody's talking to anybody.
Yes.
That is like, wow. That's really disconnect.
Yeah, it's a false connection in a sense because we need that I don't even want to counsel people that I can't see because there's so much communication that goes on sitting with somebody and the nonverbals and the instinct that goes with that.
That
to me
is the truth. Yes, definitely.
Yes, and so that communication, lacking that, and then the ability to talk, and then also often we have one that is more logical, and this could be a man or a woman, more on the logical side, another more on the emotional side, and there's wisdom in both of those. Sometimes we want to make the emotional person more logical like us because it's the right thing, or the emotional person says they don't feel anything, but there's a wisdom in coming to the middle and bringing each other, the logical person feeling more because of their spouse, the feeling person
thinking more and coming out of that emotion because of their spouse and coming to that middle wisdom.
One of the things I heard that has really left an imprint on me, and I've watched this with couples. You can just see this dynamic. You know, do you want to be loved or do you want to be right? Do you want to be loved or do you want to win? You know, what do you want? What is the, because you can't do both. You can't control and love. You can't be the winner and love.
Yes.
There really has to be this sense of us, this sense of, you know, collaboration and oneness.
Yes.
And so, what do you think of that? I mean, you must have watched a lot of that, right?
Yes. And you know what? We want to, that's where the balance comes of walking with, not overriding, but walking with, letting you be in your weirdness and me in mine, and knowing when to drive the stake in. So, you know, there are times when we just need to evaluate our differences and let the person fly their flag.
But you mean driving a stake in the ground and not in your partner.
Yes, to say, I need a change here. I need this. I need this for me. You know when I did that in the house? We just talked about it when the raccoon came through.
Yes,
drove the stake in with Greg. And you know what? He helped me there because he said, that's it. But you know what? When I said, could we please let somebody do the fireplace? He said, Denise, you've been with me. You've let me do my stuff throughout. We're going to get somebody to do the fireplace. When he wanted to do it. And now, the other thing is, I'm sitting in a 6-year renovation, right? Because my husband wanted to do it, because that's who he is. And I let him be who he is. So, you know, I could have said, I'm done, I'm out, you know. And there, believe me, there were points of that. But I knew Greg wanted to do this, that he wanted this for him. So, that is a good example of that, you know.
How wonderful. Well, I have to say, you have an admirable home now and an admirable marriage. And I'm sure your farm will be equally as wonderful. Before we leave, because I can't believe it went by so fast. Denise, tell the listeners how they can find you and how they can find your book.
Okay, so I am on Facebook, Denise Mast Broadwater Author, and if you would go there and like that, I have on there, much like this, the talks that I'm doing, how the book is doing, different comments that come through, and that's more of a daily contact that I do there. My website, if you will go in and put in the under contacts, put your email in, you can get my newsletter, which comes out every other month. And I just got done with the one that was in January, February, and I gave away Becoming Mrs. Lewis by Patty Callahan, a hardback signed by her. I gave to someone that I pick randomly from the email list. And so you have a good chance of winning a book if you're on the list. I am at emptynestmarriage.com. So that's my blog where I talk about things that I am working on, excerpts of my upcoming book, which is Amish Woman in an English World. And there's much more coming of me. So I would really enjoy getting to know my readers. I would love to hear your comments. My newsletter also has a place that's called Ask DD. And on there, I take a few questions that are submitted to me by email or Facebook and answer some family or marriage or just counseling questions. Maybe it's about the book. I did a couple of those on my newsletter. So you can reach me directly that way if you want to hear more of my thoughts on those.
Wonderful. Well, Denise Broadwater, you are just such a delight, a patient, kind, peaceful human being who has shared just a great story. I loved reading the book. I have to tell listeners, I've read the book, okay? It really is reading a reality show, and love the Yoda wisdom, and I highly recommend it. Denise, thank you so much for being on the program. And listeners, don't forget to join us again next week for another exciting, informational, and inspirational program here on Living Above the Drama.